Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
The moment you see yourself in your practical life and your performance in your practical life, you just place yourself under the law. Because the law aims at revealing you to you. So if you see yourself in your practical life all the time, do you know what it tells you? It tells you that you are living under the law. Although Christ is the end of the law, then you are not recognizing Christ. On the other hand, the moment you focus on Jesus and his performance for you, you put yourself under grace. Practically, in your everyday life, the moment you see not yourself, but you see Jesus all the time. The moment you see Jesus all the time, and you see the performance of Jesus Christ for you all the time, you put yourself under grace. Then grace is activated for its benefit to come into your life. I'll say it in other words. The moment that you think that God looks at you based on your performance, you have come under the law. The moment you think that God looks at you based upon your practical performance, you have come under the law. It is not a recognition of Jesus who came to end the law. That means that you are not recognizing Jesus. You are recognizing your own performance, not the performance of Jesus for you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it? So in our life, God wants us to always have Jesus in mind. It's wonderful. Never forget it. He instituted to us what we call the Holy Communion. He says, I do this often in remembrance of me. In other words, I want you to remember me all the time. Don't forget. The tendency in the church is for you not to recognize Jesus, but he wants us to always recognize him in our practical life. How do you do that? You focus on him and not on your performance, not on your practical life. Because your practical life, all that it will do is that it will let you put your hand on your chest, beat your chest and say, I did it. I did it. But recognizing Jesus will always make you overlook your performance and say what? He did it. He did it. All the glory goes to him. He did it. It's not as if you are not doing anything in your life, but that is not what you are seeing. You are seeing Jesus and his performance. The devil doesn't want you to see it. See Jesus and his performance. Because if you see you and your performance, there will be something that you fall short of, and then he'll use it to accuse you so that he just destroys you. You see? The second way that we recognize Jesus, I'll give you a background to it also, and then I will state it for you. The second way that the people of God must recognize Jesus, this is a background. I need to build this background so that you understand me. Okay. The background is that the law is a tool of the devil to condemn us. Anytime you see the law, you can even put in your own performance. Your own performance is a tool of the devil to condemn us. Because your performance will never be good. If you do it, if you pray for 1 hour, the devil will come and accuse you. That you said, what? Pray for 1 hour. You. Who did that thing? You think 1 hour is enough? Some people are praying 2 hours so that you feel down. So don't focus on your performance, because no performance will be good before the devil. He will find a loophole to accuse you. You say, I do my quiet time all the time. Hey, you say, some people do better than quiet time. Some people, they read the Bible every day. And to those people who say that, well, I mean, my performance is I read the Bible every day. He said, you do it every day. Some people, they do it day and night. I'm telling you, when I went to the Holy Land, I went to a place where people had vowed that they wouldn't talk to human beings. They only talk to God. I don't think you've come to that place yet. When we went, our tour guide said that don't try to talk to them. They don't talk to people. They are the people who are watchers on the wall, Isaiah chapter Isaiah 60 something, that they will not give rest to God until God makes Jerusalem a praise in the air. They are there. They are there. The state of Israel even pay some of them to do what they are doing, pay on payroll to be doing that. It's true. It's wonderful. The devil, even them, the devil will find something. Say, you are not talking to men, but you see human beings. And you did verbal talk. You don't know how this accuser of the brethren is like. Never, never see your performance. That is why the law is a tool of the devil. Your own performance is a tool of the devil to use to accuse you and condemn you. That's the background I want to give you. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. Let me show you something, because some people think that, well, pastor, you must be very, very careful. How can you say that the law which God gave is a tool of the devil? Ladies and gentlemen, the law was not given by the devil. It was given by God, but it armed the devil. The law is actually the armor of the devil. I'll show it to you in the Bible. You see? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse number 9. Look at verse 7 for context. For if the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. Please underline ministration of death. Ministration of death. Something was ministering death. And the Bible says that thing was written and engraved on stones. Do you know who wrote that thing on stones? It's talking about the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God on stones, engraved on stones. The Bible says that it was a ministry of death. Okay, so we know we are talking about the law. Come to verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation, so the law, your own performance is called the ministry of death. Your own performance is called the ministry of condemnation. Had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceed much more in glory. Do you know the ministry of righteousness? It means that when we start, we must minister righteousness to people. We must remind people they are righteous. You are righteous. You are ministering righteousness to people. But on the other hand, you can minister not the gift of righteousness. You can minister what? Condemnation. How do you do that? When you let people focus on the law or their own performance. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you how the devil arms himself with the law or your own performance. Colossians chapter 2 and then verse number 14. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting, this is Jesus on the cross. On the cross, he wiped out the handwriting. Please underline handwriting. Handwriting. It gives us an idea of the law that God wrote with his own hands on stones. The law of Moses. It says that having wiped out the handwriting of requirement, what God requires of you. What God requires of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Those are requirements. Having wiped out, Christ is the end of the law. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement, that was against us. Why was it against us? Because we could not do it. Which was contrary to us. It was contrary against our flesh. Our flesh could not do it. And he has taken it out of the way. Can we all say out of the way? The law is out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So on the cross, Jesus was dying, but at the same time, he took the law and he was nailing it. God was nailing the law to the cross. When they were nailing him, they were nailing also the law. Verse 15 now. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Look at the scripture. Verse 14 says that God canceled out the handwriting which was contrary to us. He nailed it on the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. How did he disarm principalities and powers? How did God disarm principalities and the powers? That is the question. Do you know how he disarmed them? By taking their armor, which is the law, and nailing it on the cross. He said that you cannot accuse them anymore because of what I have taken their place. No more are they supposed to look at their obedience to the law, their own performance practically as believers. They have to look at what? His performance on the cross for us. So the devil arms himself with the law. And that is the law he uses. It's a tool of the devil. He arms himself with your performance. He arms himself with it. And then he comes and then he is fully strengthened to accuse you based upon your performance. But Jesus Christ disarmed him. He took the law away from his hands. Hallelujah. Because he gave righteousness as a gift to us. Not based upon our performance, but based upon his performance. So the second thing that you have to know that will help you to know whether you are recognizing Jesus or not is this. The moment you feel condemned for not doing more or better, you have placed yourself under the law. I will say it again. The moment you feel condemned for not doing more and for not doing better or for not doing anything at all, you have placed yourself under the law. I'll say it again. The moment you feel condemned for not doing more or better or for not doing anything at all, you condemn yourself for that, you have placed yourself under the law. Then you are not recognizing Jesus. You see, because he took away the devil's power to accuse us and to condemn us. He nailed it to the cross. Says, now recognize what I have done for you. Not what you do in your practical life. Always focus on what I have done for you. So if you don't focus on what Jesus has done, and your focus is on how your Christian life is, do you know what you have done? You have placed yourself under the law. You are no more placed under grace, under Jesus. You are not recognizing Jesus the way that you should. Hallelujah. Let me say it in some other ways. Our subject is recognizing Jesus. Okay? Grace is the tool of God to justify us. Grace is the tool of God. If you like, you can say grace is the armor of God to declare us innocent. Grace is the tool of God. In other words, if God wants to give a verdict of innocence to you, he will arm himself with grace. And then he can declare you guiltless. He can declare you are not condemned. He doesn't arm himself with your performance to give any verdict on you. He arms himself with what? Grace to justify us. So, I want to tell you something. Never feel condemned. Never feel condemned. Because if you do, you have lost sight of Jesus. You are no more recognizing Jesus. You were a believer, I know. You say, Jesus is my everything. It's all about Jesus. But you see, the moment you think that your performance is what God is looking at, it's not all about Jesus. It's about you. It's just a cliche you are saying.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Never feel condemned. Maybe I should show you something. Let me show you something. From the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let me show you something. John chapter 8. Maybe we will end in that place. Should we end there? Let's see what I can do. John chapter 8. Help me, Lord. You know the story of the woman caught in adultery? Let me narrate the story. This woman caught in adultery, Jesus Christ did not condemn her. The people came to accuse her. The scribes and the Pharisees, they threw her down in the midst of a crowd, and said that Moses in the law said that such people should be stoned. What do you say? Jesus behaved as if he didn't hear them. He was writing. He gives us a picture of the law, right? Engraving something on stone. He was writing with his fingers on the ground. That place was full of rocks. If you have gone to the Temple Mount before, you see that the place is all rocky. Jesus was writing in stones. He was reminding them that I gave the law. The law that you see, I gave the law. So don't come and do pa-pa as if you love the law more than me. That's what the devil does. He always, in trying to accuse us, he behaves as if he loves the law. He loves righteousness, that people doing the right thing more than God. How dare he? How dare he? When God does not remember your sins anymore, how dare he remind you of your sins? Is he holier than God for him to tell you that accuse you of sin? No. Jesus. So when he was behaving as if he has, they came to him again. They said, Moses said, what should we do? Jesus lifted himself and he said that if anybody has no sin, he should cast the first stone. He didn't say if anybody has not committed adultery, because they may not have committed adultery, but they may sin some other sin. Like those of you listening to me, you may think that you are better because you, as for you, you are, but there is something else. Do you understand? What Jesus was saying was that, look, I gave the law. My problem with you is that you can't all obey the law. She committed adultery, you committed something else. So stop condemning people based upon the fact that, well, maybe I am more like this. This is my strength. Please, please be careful. Jesus said, if nobody has offended in the law, is you right? All of them, they left. And Jesus lifted himself again and asked the woman, where are your accusers? Please underline accusers if you have your Bible written. Because that's how the devil accuses us now. He doesn't come to you and say, I'm accusing you. He uses people who know the law. He uses believers, even preachers, who do not understand the kingdom system of grace, who will come to you and postulate their performance and your performance before you. That at the end of the day, you don't see the performance of Jesus for you when you leave. They have replaced Jesus. You see, the devil, accuser of our brethren, has been cast down. He is no more in heaven. He has been cast down. Now he accuses believers and you and I through people who are down here, through human beings, came down from heaven to use them to now accuse us and condemn us. And this thing can take, the ministry of condemnation can still take place in the church. Yeah. The ministry of death can still take place in the church. So do you know what happened? Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? The purpose of the accuser of the brethren is to condemn you. And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus was careful that the woman doesn't feel condemned. Had the woman committed adultery? Yes, she had. But Jesus said, don't feel condemned. That is what he was saying. Neither do I condemn you. Because grace is the tool of the devil, to justify you, to declare you innocent. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then look at the next verse after he said that. Look into your Bibles. I want to show you something. When he told that thing to the woman, Jesus Christ continued teaching the crowd that the Pharisees brought the woman in their midst. So, after the episode when he said, go and sin no more, maybe the woman got up and went to join the crowd, or she went away. But Jesus continued teaching the people who were there, because they had been a witness to something. And he said to them, I am the light of this world. If anybody follows me, he will not walk in darkness. Sin is darkness, right? But he will have the light of life. In other words, do you know what the light of life is? Today I'm going to show you what the light of life. You see, you have life on this earth. You need to have the life of light. Or if you like, the light of life. The light of life, in the context of John chapter 8, where Jesus Christ said that, is not feeling condemned. That is the light of life. In other words, if you want to live not in darkness or in sin, if you want to go from this place as you listen to me and not to sin anymore, you must have no condemnation. Because when you have no condemnation, then you are empowered not to go and sin again. It's only Jesus and his grace that gives the light of life to the woman who was caught in adultery. Finally, let me show you something, because I want you it to get deep into you. Go to the book of Galatians. Galatians and chapter 3. I want to show you that relying on our own performance is not our original life. Recognizing Jesus is our original life. Right from the Garden of Eden, when mankind sinned, they recognized their own effort by sowing fig leaves. And God tore it away. He says, look, it's not your performance, how you can sow nice fig leaves and cover your nakedness, that I'm looking for. I'm looking at my own performance. So God himself killed an animal, killed an animal and clothed them with animal skin. He said, look at my performance. Look at my performance, not your performance. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Galatians chapter 3, and then verse 16 and 17. This is where we are ending. I want you to get there very quickly. It says, and now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. The point I want you to understand is that grace came before the law. That the law is not our original life. In other words, relying on your personal performance as a believer right now is not the way of the kingdom. It's the way of religion. It's not the way of the kingdom. Hallelujah. It is the way of religion. Wow. Abraham lived before the law. Abraham lived before God gave the Ten Commandments. That is why Jesus Christ takes us back to the blessings of Abraham, which we get by grace, by the performance of Jesus being made a curse for us, that we will receive the blessing of Abraham. I want you to understand something in verse number 17. That, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, in other words, the law came 430 years after Abraham had lived by grace, and after Abraham had been blessed by God by grace, and after Abraham had been given the promises of God, then the law came 430 years afterwards. So don't say that, well, Jesus Christ came to put aside the law. Jesus Christ came really, really to fulfill what was our original life. The life of not looking at your performance, but at his performance. Not at your fig leaves, but at the skin that was animal that was killed and used to clothe you in this life. It's not about your performance. It's about his performance. Look at the verse 17 as we end. That the law, this I say, that the law was 430 years later. That is after Abraham lived by grace. It cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. This is what the Bible is saying. That God has made promises to you, believer listening to me right now, and your performance cannot annul that covenant, because that covenant, the Bible says that God did it in Christ. How did he do it in Christ? The gospel was first preached to Abraham. Read the same Galatians chapter 3. Oh, I don't know whether you understand what I'm teaching you. I am teaching you from a book, the Church of Galatia, who were mixing grace and law. They were mixing their own performance and then salvation by grace, or righteousness by grace. And Paul said that you can do that. I am still praying for you that Jesus will be formed in you, because the issue is that you are not recognizing Jesus. It may be in your cliche, but in your life, because you are focus on your performance, it is not a recognition of Jesus. And he's saying to you that don't think that Jesus is trying to wash down our practical performance of righteousness. He said no, he's not doing that. Rather, he is coming to fulfill, because before the law came, he had made certain promises by grace to Abraham. And the law doesn't have the power, your own performance doesn't have the power to negate those promises. Do you understand what I'm teaching you? We can be in church and have all the fivefold ministry. At the end of the day, we don't have any unity of the faith, because the one who unites us is Jesus and his performance. Not our individual performance that will bring "I am better than you" to the church. But when we look at his performance, we come to the place of the recognition, the acknowledgement of Jesus truly in our practical lives. then you know that all the promises of God that we have, that we are an heir of the world that was made to Abraham and his seed. The seed is not you. The seed is in Christ. And if you are in Christ, the law, your performance cannot negate the promises.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.